Hey, there's the music. That means it's time for Animal Talk. Some of the best doggone pet people on the planet helping you with your pet. One pooch at a time. It's America's Pet Show, Animal Talk. Thanks for being with us. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, do all those podcast things in all the podcast places. We truly appreciate you coming around. AnimalTalkRadio.com is the website. And, of course, WearingFunny.com if you're looking for some gear, some pet parent gear, some funny t-shirts. They're all there. They're available for you. Appreciate our sponsor, WearingFunny.com. Great place. Go check them out. And for your pet help and information, you're in the right spot. We're going to help you out. We have years and years of animal calls and emails and interviews, and we're sharing them all with you on these Animal Talk Rewinds. Now, Animal Talk, it is for entertainment purposes only, so make sure you check with your local veterinarian, your local trainer, if you have any issues coming up, and we're here to help. Our professionals always got great ideas, too. So here we go, having a little bit of fun. It's Animal Talk.
Standing by, ready and willing to help you out like the cat sitting across from me.
I'm Dr. Brad Davis, here to answer any veterinary questions that you might have.
The brightest of the bunch.
I'm Donna Fournier, and I'm here to answer any training questions.
My name's Jamie. I just want to make sure everybody has a good time.
He is the Wink Martindale of radio.
1400 WDTK, our new flagship station. Excited to be here. The website, animaltalkradio.com, a great way to get a hold of us electronically on the Facebook, the MySpace, and the Twitter. We have a Twitter, MySpace question out there today. How did you get the pets that are in your life? You know, did you adopt them? Were they dropped off? Somebody ring the doorbell and run? how did the pets in your life get into your life? WDTK Kirby, I picked up my cat from the Animal Welfare Society. He was being fostered in a pet store, but I didn't buy him from a pet store. He was being fostered at an independent pet store. And
I've actually worked with them.
Okay. And
I may have had a part in raising Kirby at some point.
There you go. Brad, what about you? How did you have a menagerie? How do your pets come into your life?
Well, I made a point. I'm never going to bring an animal home from work.
Well, because that's the thing.
Yeah, there's so many sob stories. There's so many sad stories. If you brought home every sad animal, you would just be inundated with critters. Now, my wife's a vet as well. She never made such a promise. And so that's why we tend to have a bunch of them. She has a couple of kitties.
Whoa. Juniper came from you, though.
No, Juniper did, but I did not. Juniper came from my clinic, but I didn't bring Juniper home. I brought my wife to see Juniper.
And so
you could still blame it on her.
I loopholed it. And so, but no. Yes. So Juniper was going to be put to sleep because she had what's called floaters in her eyes.
Right,
and so they were just going to put her down for that, which was absurd, really. So, so we did. I asked them not to, and that's how we got Juniper.
But they said, "Well, you could keep her."
Exactly, and so it ended up that way. But yeah, it's getting a cat or a pet that way is it does feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel like you've done something, and especially if the cat, because when the gratitude that they don't feel about it is so wonderful. They're always doing you a favor with a cat, wouldn't you say, Donna?
Yes, they are.
And how do the pets in your life come into your life?
Oh, Lee, I moved into her house.
Uh-huh.
And she couldn't go with her former owners, so her owners left her, and I was moving into the house they were leaving, so I moved into her house.
Oh, she was a leave behind.
Yes, she was. Yeah. But it was talked about, discussed. I knew that she would be there waiting for me. Frog, I picked up on the road, actually, when she was about 8 weeks old. Picked her up wandering through a parking lot, and nobody claimed her, so she stayed.
All right, there you go. So how did the pets in your life get to be in your life? And just excited to be back on in Detroit. I mean, Animal Talk, we've been around for 12, Brad, how long have we been doing this? 12 years? Better than that? Something like that?
I think since longer than One Life to Live.
Yes.
I think we've been on for...
Exactly. So, we've been on and off in Detroit and back on in Detroit here at News Talk 1400 WDTK. And just... love being on in the town that we're in, and because there's I love Detroit personally. I just you know, people are like, oh, I got to leave this town, I got to go someplace and do something fun somewhere. And it's like, well, there's a lot of fun stuff to do here. If you can't find something fun, you're just not looking in the right places. And one of the jewels of Detroit, one of the gems in my opinion, besides Donna, is our Detroit Zoo. I love me some Detroit Zoo. I gotta tell you, I really do. There's all kinds of fun stuff to do besides just strolling through and checking out the animals. I mean, that's, you know, zoo, but there's so much going on at the zoo all the time. It's just amazing to take advantage of the things going on. One of my favorite things about it, I'll tell you in a minute, but we were lucky enough to have the director of the Detroit Zoo with us, Ron Kagan. Ron, welcome to Animal Talk. Oh, I got to click him in. I'm sorry. Ron, it's the new toys. I'm trying to figure them out here. I'm getting it. All right, Ron, welcome to Animal Talk.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be with you.
And Ron knows because he's like, he sees me up there. He's there all the time. He lives there almost. And he sees me all the time up at the zoo. So he knows I'm not fibbing when I say I love me some Detroit Zoo. One of my favorite things, Ron, I don't know if you had a hand in this or one of your brilliant marketing people did or what, but the wild summer nights. We're past summer right now, and we're going to find out what's going on, but I really enjoy the wild summer nights. Can you tell our listeners what the wild summer nights are?
Yeah, you know, we obviously are a special place, not just for kids, mm-hmm. also for adults and for families and all sorts of, and even corporate events. There's sort of a wonderful opportunity for every type of group to come. And so in the summertime, we have that huge picnic area, as you mm-hmm. know, at the front of the park.
Yeah.
And it's our own kind of mini Woodstock. And we sometimes we'll have 2,000 or 3,000 people. People bring blankets. They come well-prepared. And we have each week different musical groups. Some are more focused for kids, and some are more focused for those of us who are not so much kids anymore. And it's just wonderful. We don't charge extra for it. People who are members, and we've got now almost 60,000 families
wow.
in the area that are members.
I'm one.
Awesome. So it is one of many special events. We've even started doing sort of date nights at the zoo.
Yeah.
Every now and then for adults that want to come and they don't actually want to be around kids, we're doing more of those. We did two this summer, and there'll be more coming.
Yeah.
So there's always, unusual stuff going on here.
The thing I like about those, the Wild Summer Nights, the other thing I like about that is the zoo stays open a little later for that. And you can catch the animals a little bit closer to dusk, and they get a little more active, and they're jumping around and moving around a little bit more in the evening. And that's I just love it. And just again, one of the things that I truly dig about the zoo, it's kind of like a little secret that it stays open a little later. So we're letting the secret out that people should look forward to that next summer, the Wild Summer Nights. And Ron, we're going to find out from you what happens in the fall, because you guys are open. How many we were making fun of you. You're like the Bronners of animals, right? Open 364 days a year. How many days are you open a year?
I guess it's 362 because we are closed on New Year's Day and
okay.
on Christmas Day and on Thanksgiving Day.
All right, we'll see that. So I said it's at least 350. I know they're open.
Well, you're a connoisseur because you also, as you pointed out, in the evenings in the summertime, it's the perfect time mm-hmm. to see the animals because they are more active. And actually in the wintertime, if you bundle up, it is incredible to come and see tigers and pandas, all of which come from these cold climates, playing in fresh snow. I mean, it's just magical.
All right, Ron, we're going to talk about the other programs and things that you have happening, because as the snow starts to fall, doesn't mean the gates are closing. So we're going to talk about that. Jamie, Donna, Dr. Brad, Animal Talk. It is America's Pet Show. Animal Talk on News Talk 1400 WDTK. And just so pleased to be back here in Detroit on a Detroit station. Excited about it. And because we get to talk about the cool stuff happening in and around Detroit. And one of the cool things, one of the cool people from in and around Detroit, the director of the Detroit Zoo, Ron Kagan's with us. And Ron, we're looking into the fall here. There's some fun family events I know going on. And what happens in the fall and in the winter at the Detroit Zoo?
God, Jamie, I don't know where to begin. There's so many things.
Yeah.
First of all, the stuff that's really time important,
yeah.
meaning you got to come quick before they grow up, or yeah. the various babies that have recently been born here.
Ooh.
So we have two black and white rough lemurs, which, as you know, are critically Whoa. Endangered mm-hmm. animals from Madagascar, mm-hmm. And they're growing up quickly. We also have a red panda baby that was born a couple of months ago, and so all of those babies are on view in the various exhibits here, along with the two baby aardvarks that were born over the past year, which you know, there are only 26 in the United States, and there are six of them. Six of those 26 are here in Detroit. But I heard one of your commercials was about this lion DVD.
And right.
I'm not sure if everyone knows that a couple of months ago we rescued three lions from a junkyard in Kansas.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And they are here, and people can come and see them as well. And for, you know, for the winter, I mean, obviously we started to talk about this before the break, but when you think about the things like our Amur tigers, which essentially originate from Siberia, so they love the cold weather, and you think about the polar bears, and you think about the snow monkeys with their incredible hot tub in their exhibit, and the wolverines. I mean, I can go on and on. These are animals that just really thrive in the winter here. So those are all great things. We have Zubu, which is always incredibly popular and goes on for a number of nights. I suppose I should share with your listeners that they can come to our website and get details on all sorts of special events, and that's DetroitZoo.org. And the other cool thing, and this is kind of a media break for you, because we've not released the press releases yet, but on the 16th of this month, we will be opening and premiering our Wild Adventure 3D 4D theater.
Oh, wow.
And this is unbelievable stuff. It was filmed at Lewa Downs in Kenya using a little tiny remote control robot with a high-def 3D camera on it. And so if you can just imagine this, this is as good as anything that Disney or Universal Studios has. But we have this spectacular theater, 126-seat theater, where you see, for instance, a rhino charging at you in 3D, high def. So, you know, the horn is right about to get you. And at the same time, you know, you're getting a blast of hot, smelly rhino breath in your face.
Excellent.
And then there's a Land Rover that goes by a mud hole, and you get sprayed. And I mean, I don't want to give away all of this stuff, but it is absolutely amazing. And the whole story is about the battle that conservationists fight there with people that are involved in poaching and other things with farm wildlife. So it's a very rich kind of educational experience, but it's really quite thrilling.
Oh, wow. I'm really looking forward to that. Yes. We were there for an event that usually takes place in that auditorium, and it wasn't there. Yeah. It was your teacher day. Uh-huh. You usually have the opener there, and it was like it was closed because, but it's going to be open soon. So I was like very excited. So glad to hear that's opening up on the 16th of this month. We'll definitely be stopping in to check that out. How does pop culture influence what happens at the zoo? Because I noticed that you have a meerkat exhibit now, and that Meerkat Manor on the Animal Planet is just, I just love it. It's the only reality show that I like or watch.
Yes.
You now have was that influenced by the popularity of that show?
Well, it definitely got our attention. We also thought of, you know, we had a space that was really appropriate for meerkats, and there wasn't anything in it. And so, you know, there was a convergence of things going on. Mm-hmm. We also think meerkats are fascinating animals, and part of it is the social dynamics, which is obviously why it got Animal Planet's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as you and your other hosts know, that show really tries to relate, even though I've only seen it a couple of times, but I can tell it tries to relate some of the similarities between our behavior and animal behavior. And I think there are a lot of people who still are uncomfortable with that. I'm not. I mean, as somebody who's worked with animals for a very long time, there are a lot of similarities. And I think it is not a bad thing for us to try to put ourselves in, you know, behind the eyes or the ears or in the footsteps of some of the animals to better, you know, appreciate what our impact is on them. So I think it's interesting that they present it that way, and we obviously don't shy away from talking about the similarities and the connections between humans and other animals.
Yeah, you do love it. You go in there, and one of them will be standing sentry. just up at the end of one of those logs there, and he'll be just checking it out, or she'll be checking it out, just kind of keeping an eye on things while the other ones are foraging around. It's just, it's very, it's like, wow, just like on the television. I'm just easily
like
amused.
People, you know, looking out for each other. Yeah. I mean, it's not that dissimilar.
Well, it's all instinct.
And, of course, we've just come off, speaking of special events, we had the Dinosauria event here this summer, which was a huge hit and kind of an experience of going through Jurassic Park, only, you know, surviving it. So that was a big hit. And also, I'm happy to say that it isn't just fun stuff, but we also, as you know, do a lot of meaningful conservation work. And 2 weeks ago, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, which is the National Zoo Association, met, and we were awarded the North American Conservation Significant Achievement Award
that
we've done with piping plovers in Michigan for the past several years. So, you know, the zoo here is a place that is great fun for anybody who visits, but it also really does a lot of meaningful work.
It is, like I said, I believe it's one of the jewels of Detroit. And how hard is it right now with the economy being as rough as it is? And in the last handful of years, the zoo has taken some changes in how it's run and funded. Is the economy stretching? Do people need to pony up a little bit more?
Well, it's an interesting dynamic because obviously, things are very difficult for the community in general, and if ever there was a time for the zoo, which is, you know, a place where you really see wonderful diversity in all of the senses, if ever there was a time for us to be there for the community, it's now. And so we've tried to make sure that we're not just a good experience, but also one that's a very good value for people. So I'm happy to say, for instance, that this year our attendance is up, I think it's about 150,000 people so far, above where we were last year, which is a, you know, that's a pretty big number.
And so I
think it illustrates that the zoo continues to be very relevant and meaningful for people and memorable. And in that sense, you know, we're doing okay. Obviously, it's a tough climate for fundraising and marketing and things like that.
Ron, really appreciate you taking some time with us on our first show here on 1400 WDTK. We appreciate it, and we will see you at the zoo.
Great. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, it's Jamie. I got to hop on in here and remind you about our sponsor, WearingFunny.com. WearingFunny.com for all your pet parent t-shirt needs. Head on over to WearingFunny.com and check out the vast array of amazing, hilarious t-shirts, thoughtful, cuddly, and cute for you and your kitties and your puppies. And hey, we take requests. If you have a critter that we don't have represented, let us know. We'll get you connected with just the perfect shirt for you and your critters, showing your love for being the best pet parent you can possibly be. WearingFunny.com. Back to the show.
Might be the website animaltalkradio.com, and we got the Twitter and the Facebook, the MySpace. It's your one-stop shop for all that. The Ustream, you can actually get the webcams up in the new studios. Scott, the board guy here, not that he's bored, but he's running the board.
He could be bored.
It might be. Before the show, I'm like plugging in all the webcams and stuff, and he's like, what are these freaks doing to my studio, man? Yeah. He's unscrewing panels. What's going on? My boss is not going to like this. So, but the webcam's up, and you can find all that on our website, animaltalkradio.com, and they're archived there, so the funny just doesn't go away.
Sure.
It's
you can't
it's
make
like
it
skunk
stop.
On you. It's not even V8's getting this off of you. But you go to the website, animaltalkradio.com, and you can tweet us a question. We got a tweet poll out there today, but you can answer on any of the platforms if you'd like. How did the pets in your life get in your life? How did the pets in your life come to be in your life? Because we were talking to the Guardians for Animals about their Pet Expo coming up on the 17th and 18th there in Madison Heights, and talking about how pets came into your lives. So Paula, she's our queen of everything digital. Paula, how are people finding that pets have come into their lives?
Well, most of our digital friends either rescue them or from shelters and things like that, or they're finding them on the street under porches in the rain.
Oh,
yeah, they're saving them.
So most of our digital posse so far going to the rescues.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right. If you'd like to get involved in that poll, just hit the website, animaltalkradio.com, and lots of great stuff there. Highlights from the show. There'll be links to the people we've talked to and all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm going to make some ship noises here again. All right, there you go. moving things around. Nothing is quiet in here, that's for sure. All right, helping you with your pets, whatever the problem might be. And we'd like to have a little fun along the way. Right now, we got a tricky trivia for you.
Koopa, Loompa, Doopity, Doopa, I've got another puzzle for you.
All right, tricky trivia for you. I don't have a question. Oh, my screen just went away. That is hilarious. Oh, I got too many digital things going on here. I can tell you what we're giving away, and then in the next segment, I'll have the question for you. You know what? I'll tell you what. We're just going to give them away. Does it make it even so? Tell me what your name is. There's the question. All right.
What kind of pet do you have? There you go.
Show prep. All right. But you're playing for. It's going to be real easy because all you got to do is tell me what your name is. But it's Ron Kagan mentioned it. The Lions from the Animal Planet, the DVD. You get to experience a pride like no other when Lions comes to DVD. It's out now from Animal Planet and Genius Products. It's spanning the African continent, the barren plains, and the lush jungles. Lion features kid-friendly programs, a lion called Christian, the Lion Share, White Lions, and Rogue Lions. There's four different segments on there. And a lion called Christian, he's like the YouTube phenom, right? Mm-hmm. It was these guys thought it would be cool to have a lion, and they had it, and it was really cool until it got like 3 months old, and it was like as big as a house. So they finally realized, you know, someone's going to get hurt. The only brilliant decision they made was, oh, let's do something about this, and they were able to get the lion. And amazingly enough, the lion was reintroduced into the wild, not wild, but a sanctuary, and it's interacting with other lions, and it's out there being a lion. And they went back to
a year later, I think.
Yeah, and the guy, the guard, is like, it's probably going to eat you. We need to stay in the truck. And they're like, oh, but then they called him and it went and it ran. It's just brilliant. Mm-hmm. It just, you need to see the video to believe it. Mm-hmm. And you can win it for free right now.
The video. Not the lion.
No, not the lion. No. We're not giving away lions. No, you know, not after that dropping the turkeys thing out of the helicopter. No, not giving away animals. And the trivia question, easy enough. What's your name? Because my screen went away. So there you go. It just got real simple. So, but we got like five copies of that. So the first five people we get, we'll get a copy of that. So Brad, do we have an email over there?
We sure do. It starts out like this. Dear Animal Talk.
What's this, fan mail from a flounder?
Does anyone know of a particular food that I can feed my daughter to make her less appealing to fleas? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's my fault.
It's all different with punctuation.
Yeah. We are a family of four, but they seem to favor her only. It pains me to see her soft skin covered with bites that itch. There are some good suggestions on the network archives ranging from eucalyptus branches, brewer's yeast, and garlic capsules, but I was wondering if there's anything that I can give to a child. Thanks. And this is signed Amy.
All right.
And the fact is, what you already gave Amy, that through genetics, so you gave her allergies. Because everybody's being bitten by the fleas, but she's allergic to the bites.
Oh.
And that's why we'll say one spouse gets bitten and the other one doesn't. Everyone's bitten, but they don't like the way we taste. That's why we don't have fleas in our hair. If you want to get fleas, if you say, boy, you know, I've always wanted to experience
that.
That was
something I'd like to do later today.
Yeah, go to the Appalachians. Go find one of those Labner sort of towns up in the Appalachians, unless... You know, you're an affiliate. Of course, you're not one of those.
Yeah.
But no, they do have human fleas that won't get on dogs and cats.
Oh, nice.
So they're species specific.
Sure.
And so, yeah, your daughter's just allergic. You can put something on there to help, but probably the best thing, going out on a limb here. Yeah, get rid of the fleas.
Okay.
That'd be the
so
first
how do we
step.
Get rid of the fleas on our pets? Is there a good solution? The front line, the advantage, those work fairly well?
Those are the big ones. Revolution is fine, too. There's the good topicals will do a bang-up job for you.
Mm-hmm.
People try to cut corners, get the less good things, which aren't necessarily that good. Also, if you have children, you really want to watch... That's what makes Frontline Advantage so good. They're safe with kids as well. Mm-hmm. But they treat the house. The animals, wherever they go in the house, all the fleas die. Between that and your vacuum, you don't need to do the bombing, the whole nine yards. You can take care of it. Also, a really neat thing that you can be able to pick up around the Detroit area will be available shortly. Liberal applications of winter. If you applying winter to your yard tends to help with the fleas out there.
Yes.
And
okay.
So that should do it for you.
So that should be in the next week, week and a half, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Yes. Let's see. Summer was pubes. Yes. It should be time for winter.
Well, we really basically didn't have much of a summer, so mm-hmm. we're kind of dealing with it. So
yeah. We had a summer that wasn't that hot, so that's kind of helped with fleas a little bit. Mm-hmm. But also, people are doing more of the Frontline and the Advantage mm-hmm. and taking
and
care
doing
of
it year round.
Yes,
that's really the key, is doing it year round,
right?
Because you may not have fleas, but the mail carrier who's walking through all of these neighborhoods, one can hitch a ride onto that mail carrier and end up in your yard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's really important. Same thing with heartworm preventative. Mm-hmm. Even though we are in a moderate climate, it's still a good idea to treat for that year round. Just get in the habit of doing it. It becomes a routine. That mm-hmm. way you never forget.
And the heartworm also protects the kids, because it protects against roundworms and hookworms, which are things kids can get and be a problem. We talked a little bit mm-hmm. about it earlier. But when you're protecting the children, go year-round. It's safer, more effective. And as for the fleas, how do they get into your yard? Stray cats, stray dogs. A stray cat runs through your yard in the middle of the night. All of a sudden, they're exposed. So that's all it takes.
All right. So keep Brian Setzer away.
Yes.
Just tell him to knock it off. He is coming back for Christmas. So,
is he really?
Yeah. Wow. Him and the orchestra. So
awesome.
I have to check that out.
Yes.
And of course, I'd like to keep you informed. Brad scours the news. What's happening in the news, Brad and Paula?
Well, welcome to Animaltainment Tonight. I'm Brad.
And I'm Paula. We're here with all the animal news.
That's right, Paula. Everything that's exciting in the animal world.
Is there a new Italian car that has room for 1,700?
Would Roddy McDowell have starred in Pastries of the Apes?
Would there be a reenactment of the Battle of the Bull Run in New Jersey?
And do chimps in English classes hope for an ape plus?
But first, Brad, is there a difference between pack animals and packed animals?
Not for a guy named Lombardo in Italy, Paula. Italian police are questioning a motorist who had 1,700 live animals crammed into the trunk of his car. Police discovered the animals stacked in boxes in Francesco Lombardo's hatchback during a routine check. Among the animals found were 216 parakeets, 300 white mice, 150 hamsters, 30 Japanese squirrels, 6 chameleons, and more than 1,000 turtles. Lombardo told police he planned to sell the turtles for about $30 a piece, which would have, quote, earned him a fortune. Although there were no human witnesses, Lombardo says his biggest worry is that the parakeets are going to sing.
Coming up later on Animaltainment Tonight, did a bull have a beef with his trip to New Jersey?
And if a million monkeys typing infinitely would eventually produce the works of Shakespeare, could they try to make it so that I can understand what those people in the plays are saying? But first, Paula, are there banana-flavored Pop-Tarts?
I don't know, Brad, but the pastry has a Minnesota city questioning their cop smarts. The St. Paul police force is currently wrapped in a scandal like a gooey, fruity-filled, wrapped in dense pastry. Wow.
Yeah,
easy for me to say. An off-duty police officer was sneaked into a local zoo for a late-night tour by security guards, and during his visit, he gave the gorillas a box of Pop-Tarts. Internal Affairs is investigating, and zoo security staff involved were fired. The gorillas are doing fine despite the diversion from their usual diet. Police both deny feeding the gorillas and also add, we figured it was cool because we had an escort. The gorillas released a statement by saying they would prefer toaster strudel.
This portion of Animaltainment Tonight brought to you by Pillsbury. Pillsbury, home is calling.
Coming up on Animaltainment Tonight, if a monkey corrects you and tells you what you... and tells you that you don't speak good.
Well.
And there it is.
Speak well.
Well, then is he a jerk too?
But first, Paula, you have the story about some New Jersey police who were steering down the wrong street. But were they honking the horn?
Well, I'm not sure, Brad. Police say a 1,400-pound bull that escaped from a northern New Jersey slaughterhouse dragged officers with a lasso down a street and ran 10 blocks before being captured and sedated. A police spokesman says the bull was being uploaded at a meatpacking plant when it broke loose before 8:30 a.m. Monday. Police tried to corral the bull by lassoing a rope around the animal's neck, but it dragged the officers down the street instead. Officers finally corralled the animal and were able to sedate it. The bull was later slaughtered in a traditional New Jersey way, dumped into the ocean with its feet in cement.
Police also suspect the animal may have been on drugs, as they reported the stakes were high.
Hey, that's really punny. But perhaps we have cured cancer, AIDS, and all of the other world's diseases. It's about time researchers started finding out if monkeys can understand grammar, don't you think?
Couldn't agree more, Paula. It's not just your annoying cousin with the English degree who notices your grammatical mistakes. According to a recent Harvard University study, cotton-top tamarin monkeys have an innate ability to notice when certain basic grammatical rules are violated. Previous studies have shown that these monkeys can learn to understand some basic grammar, but not complex sentence structures. But this is the first study to demonstrate specifically that they are also able to recognize incorrect word usage and poor grammar. Speaking of poor grammar, Kelsey Grammer is back, and now he's poor in Hank, Wednesday nights on ABC.
By the way, if you want to see the show, you better tune in soon.
I don't know. It's very popular among cotton-top tamarin monkeys.
And monkeys also like to hear important animal news, so you should tune in with them here next week on another edition of
Animal Tainment Tonight.
Oh, there you go. Well played. Well played. And, well, all that. Plus, we like to have a little fun along the way while we're here. Oh, hey, I was going to use my thing. Hold on, wait. Here we go.
Who's bad?
It's time for the bad animal joke of the week.
All right, bad animal joke of the week. We could not go away without doing the bad animal joke. If you have a bad animal joke, you can send it to me, Jamie, at animaltalkradio.com. All right, here we go. Hey, Brad.
Yes, Mr. Jamie.
Where do Superman's goldfish live?
I don't know, Mr. Jamie. Where do Superman's goldfish live?
In the Super Bowl. All right, there you go. Bad animal joke of the week. If you'd like to subject everybody else to your bad animal joke, you can email it into me, Jamie, at animaltalkradio.com.
That was close.
And
that was close to being good.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
It bordered.
Not really. Not really.
Thanks for being with us for another episode of Animal Talk. Make sure you do all those podcast things in the podcast places. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. We hope you had a little fun along the way. Make sure you head on over to wearingfunny.com. You can grab yourself some gear to show off what a proud pet parent you are. Are you a cool cat mom? Are you a happy doggy daddy? We got all the gear just for you. Hats, shirts, all kinds of swag. Wearingfunny.com. Go check it out and show yourself a little animal pride with Animal Talk. Once again, like, subscribe, leave a comment. Thank you so much for being here. Have an exotic week and kiss your wild thing for us.
Fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.